Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Hotep. Welcome, welcome to Oracle's readings by Omi Inca 7 and 5. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, for part two of our two-part segment, The Return to African Religion, part two. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. For those of you who have been following me and who are on the path to priestesshood or priesthood, or even by the law. We are talking about breaking down the information on the protocol of the priestess or the priest. And tonight we'll be sharing with you the diabolical beads that those priests and priestess wear, the seven orishas that represent the God and the essence of God. And we'll be sharing with you why it's necessary to wear the beads, or why we recommend you wear the beads, because most priestess, they know that once they've been initiated, they want to display the fact that they have gone through an initiation. We're talking about a secret society, ladies and gentlemen, and this secret society is not open to everyone. Those who can submit themselves to a higher level learning and sit underneath the tutelage of an instructor, something like a professor or other, who have the time to rest in the bosom of Abraham, because that's what you're going to have to do. Be very, very close to your mentor as a mentee. As I was once a mentee, and I stood very, very close to my instructor, I had no other choice. I actually was sanctioned. Someone came and got me and told me that I was to be initiated into Ifah. Someone told me that I had the character of Iwatelu and that they needed me to be a part of their regime and be a part of their sessions to work with some of the initiates. So I was fortunate that I was able to come in working with my mentor closely as he initiated other priestesses. So I had a chance to go through the initiation process as an assistant, while my mentor, Chief Metahochi Wali, also instructed, and I assisted with along with other devotees. Now, the term devotee means someone who's dedicated their life to a lifelong learning of learning higher spiritual things. Now, say devotee. Devotee is someone that is committed. Not necessarily a priest or a priestess, but someone who's committed themselves to learning and being involved in training on a regular basis. Now, as I told you, I was sanctioned. I was pulled in and told that I was to be involved with Ifah learning and training. So I spent about 5 years in training after finishing theology school out of Chicago, Illinois, where I had graduated out of a one-year program that certified ministers. At that particular time, my profession wasn't to be a minister, but because I delivered music through gospel, and I needed a vehicle for utilizing this particular ministry with scriptures, I thought I would get the training of an evangelist because I was traveling and ministering music. I had no desire to be a minister and to govern a flock because I knew that at that particular point I had some questions myself. And I was a terrible student asking questions over and over again, why is this and why is that, and being told don't question the Lord, just follow the instruction. But because I was such an eager student to want to question, a lot of times the ministers felt that it was necessary to suppress those who wanted to elevate and ask questions. I felt the suppression going on throughout the ministry class, and others and would look over at me, and I would look at them, and we would look back at the teacher and see that he was just pulling our legs, so to speak, carrying us on, using psychology to keep us trapped. Some African Americans don't want to admit this, but sometimes we feel trapped in a ministry. We feel very trapped because we are trying to live out the expectancy of our calling, the higher calling. So we don't question a lot of things until we get fed up. Well, I got fed up, ladies and gentlemen, and I start questioning a lot of things about the way and the nature that Africans were carrying out the service, so to speak. I felt that we were not Gentiles. I felt that we were not Hebrews. I felt that we were not practicing the faith appropriately, and that a lot of it was fake. And I saw so much fake behavior in the pulpit and carrying on and whooping and hollering that I just couldn't deliver in that manner because our people needed to be taught. And that's what I'm bringing you today, education. They needed to be taught, and they needed to have a way of getting understanding of how to have a way of life. I didn't want to tie anybody to religion because religion means tying to. But I wanted to free them of this bondage so that they could be free will thinkers and that they could decide for themselves. So I know I didn't want to go the path of a minister or preacher or apostle. I knew that I wanted to be a deliverer, so to speak, sort of like John the Baptist, the way shower who was opening up the door, so to speak. And at the same time, I began to question this thing about Jesus playing this Houdini scheme where he would show up everywhere while he was still supposed to be sitting on the throne. And I just couldn't grasp it. When the preacher said, well, you know, God can do anything. He's still up on the throne, but yet we have him down here on the cross to find him. Now, what sense did that make? If this was your main man, and now you decided you were going to crucify him and put him on the cross, and it was supposed to be a way, okay, because this was the plan that Judah knew about and Jesus knew about and he went along with this plan? How could you know that there is a Judas amongst you planning to wipe you out and you kissing his cheek and saying, that's all right, Judas, go right ahead because you're going to offer me up and I already know about it and I'm already down with this, so I'm just going to plead to the Father and ask the Father, let this cup pass away from me. But he didn't hear. He didn't pass that cup away. He still take the bitter cup of all the sins of the world. What kind of father would do that to a child? If we being evil can give good gifts to our children, how much more can the Heavenly Father give to Jesus who was asking for it? I was puzzled, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you no lie. I spent a lot of years in ministry doing things that were just repetitious and patterning things and laying hands and speaking over situations of people out of pure heart. I was sincere while others were winking their eye and smiling while laying hands and pushing people to the ground and laying cloths over them and saying, be healed this week and next week you can come back again because we're going to heal you again and again and again. It was a farce, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't have the power. I was sincere. I was asking for the power. I asked for the power, and I said, Lord, put me in those places where I'm needed. Put me where I can really heal. And God answered my prayer. He actually opened up a door to put me in the hospital, a school teacher being planted in the hospital. Of course, he said I would get trained and tutelage, and I would sit up under somebody. I wouldn't just walk out there and start laying hands because that would be a farce. He planted me, and he also prepared me with the best that they had, teaching me methods like drawing arterial blood gases, running to use the Ambu bag, intubating clients that was in the emergency room and patients that were getting better and going home, and miracles happening right before my eyes in the cancer ward. Be careful of what you ask for. Power of the tongue has life and death in it. You can speak your existence. I spoke my way into the medical field for over 4 years. Profession as a teacher being absent without leave. But yet, I was desiring to know the truth. I did not want to work any magic or juju, and I didn't want to set up anybody's ministry that was a farce and that was just like the Wiz, standing behind a fake curtain pretending to give Dorothy a way home and to give the lion courage and the tin man a heart. I wanted to be sincere. And I was so sincere about it that God heard my cry. And my training didn't stop there at the Christian faith, but it went on to a higher level of understanding many faiths. And I tell you, there will be many schools of thoughts for you, not just the Buddhist school of thought, not just the Icon School of Thought, not just the Kemetic, not just Ifa, but you will learn African religion in general. They are all similar in African religion. The Icon, the Voodoo, they all have the same method and frame with their deities and their essence and their orishas that represent God. Now, we have a traditional story, ladies and gentlemen. We have a creation story that you may have never heard before as an African. Why not? Why haven't you heard your own creation story? If every other religion has a name for their spiritual being, why don't we practice the name of Oladulamare? Why don't you hear Africans saying that name? And understanding that Olorum is one of the essence of God as well. God is not a person, he, she, or it. He is ratified energy. Frequency that shut up in your bones, that fire that gets you to moving. And when you see a person move across the floor, dancing or sliding, and in another trance, he is being mounted by the Most High. The Most High has allowed one of his essence to mount that person as they dance and display praise and worshiping. When it's sincere, and when those people in the congregations of the Christian faith go out to the floor to demonstrate, sometimes it has nothing to do with the fake preacher or the evangelist or the apostle. It's the person is so full that God sees him and he works through him to allow his ratified energy to skip across the floor. But don't think you're going to go skipping up to glory, talking to God about anything, not the creator God that created you, Oladulamare. Oh, no. No, sister and brother. He is fire. He's ratified fire. He will burn you up. You might talk to Olorum, and you might talk to him in a way that you can understand what's going on, but he's also ratified fire with maybe some matter wrapped around him. But you can embrace him. You don't have that opportunity. One of the things that preachers make the mistake of doing is telling you you have a direct line with God and you can go to the Creator. No, you cannot. There's a higher regime, and that regime is set up like a military regime. And there's three colonels and two and one God on the outer court, Oladulamare, Olorum, that interfaces in and out, and then Ori, who sits on your head. Ori is fire too. Yes, he is, or she or it is. However, God saw need to wrap Ori up in matter, something soft, so that you can embrace it, so it could go with you on a daily basis, and you could carry it with you to and fro. If you have any good success, give it to your head, because that's where Ori resides. Now, I don't have time to give you a whole lesson on the three statistics of who God is, but what I want to talk to you about is those Eleke beads. That's what we came here to discuss. You see many people wear their Eleke beads while they're being initiated. The Bible laws prepares these Eleke beads, diabolical beads we call them. They're prepared. They're consecrated. Even the threads that go through the beads are consecrated and prayed over. And each string of beads represents an orisha. And usually there's seven of those beads that represents those seven orishas, like Obakala, Shango, Olegba, Isun. Then there's the house beads, something that most people have not talked to you about. Wherever the house resides that you're having your lessons, they come up with a set of house beads. In my house, there was a set of house beads designed for my sons, and each one of these set of beads carried one of the seven beads colors to create one holistic set of beads that we use for our house. Those beads can be used for protection. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a protection in Ifa. Why run to something that is dead and senseless and has no power when you can find power in your own African religion? There is a set of protection enough to even make you invisible. Young men have to be initiated. Do not let them go out into the world without having them initiated. Mothers, learn the way of your past, then you can help to do a preliminary initiating for your sons. As you see your young men getting murdered in the streets and being shot down, make them invisible. Make them slip through the hands of the penal institution and of the judicial system. Make them slippery. And there are initiations from birth that these children are given. Instead of going to dedicate them back and sprinkling water over their head, why not give them the right hand of Orumala? Why not spend time protecting them and putting the armor protection on? I don't just mean juju, the stuff you heard about. I'm talking about understanding the charms and understanding the real initiation of rituals that will protect them and be out of court, and that the ancestors will walk with them and shield them. That's right. There's a power within Ifa. If it wasn't, you wouldn't find your Caucasian friends seeking to become Baba Laws and priestesses and wanting to know how to worship our ancestorship. They know that there is a power there. There's a reasoning behind this full religion. Now, getting back to the Ilekedis, they're not to be touched because they're consecrated. They're not to be engaged with other jewelry because they're consecrated. And they are to be kept hidden, just like Amen-Ra, the hidden one. You are to conceal them because they're there for protection. Each one of them, like a Yamanye, gives you protection and shields you because water knows no enemy. Water is it is a protective coating. And in the ocean where you find Yamanye, you will find this particular color of yellow. So you see those beads represents Yamanye. Then you see the red beads, the red and white beads representing Shango, because he is a warrior. He will fight for you. He will do battle for you. When you wear those beads, you are protected. You don't have to fight your battles because your Orishas will go before you, and he will be your protector. And just like Ishun, the trickster, we like to call it, but he's very educated and he's very, very knowledgeable. He will use a form of trickery to get people off your back. Now remember, you're going to see evil and good in one setting. When you speak of good, you ordinarily have spoken of bad. They exist in duality. You will never find good by yourself over here. If you sit long enough, bad will walk in the door without you even opening it. So don't go telling me about no devil. There is no devil in the African faith. You must understand your flesh is what wars against your spirit. Your flesh is very wicked. Now, who could know it? Even in the Christian faith, I learned that the flesh must be brought up under subjection, and it's very wicked. You must understand that you are fighting with a foe, id and an eagle. And just like in the Egyptian story where the two brothers were fighting and one decided to chop the other up and put him away, and then that is the flesh that you're fighting. That is an example of a psychological presentation of why you're fighting the flesh all the time, trying to bring it under, because the flesh is wicked, and the heart is very wicked and full of guile as well. But it's the spirit. You are to rise above the flesh. As you go up the tree of the ladder, you rise above the flesh. Now, once again, you cannot wear those beads and be walking around here doing wicked things. As you wear those beads, you must demonstrate Iwatelu, because you are an initiate, and you are always going to be an initiate. You will never stop being in training. Now, as I told you, Chief Metahoti pulled me in and saw that I was a professor, instructor, and wanted to have the training that I could possibly award him in doing the initiation. So I started off involving myself in doing the preparation, being a part of the initiation, and being a part of the house. It's very, very vital when you see a student that is learning and that wants to learn and that is eager to learn. Those are the ones that you want to become the initiate because they're a lifetime initiate. Now, wearing these LKBs means that they're consecrated. You must put them away at night. And you must wrap them in white cloth and not let anyone embrace them or touch them because their energy transmits off into the bees, and these bees have been consecrated. As I told you, do not merge them in water because they've been consecrated. At the same time, when you wear your white, you wear your beads, and your beads are displayed at various different ceremonies like benbes or ceremonies where there's rituals, where there is divination being done, or ebals. You wear them out in public events. You must remember that when you're doing ebals, those of you who are involved in divination, I'm sure you know about the I Chings, and that's when they come out for ordinations and big events. A divination may be done yearly, and those I Chings will come out to do the reading. Readings are very, very necessary in the African's life. We must know what's going on in our life. Just like Marvin said, what's going on? What's going on? How come most of us don't know what's going on? We can be sitting in a place, and instead of us saying, come on, let's get Lily in here, we got to get out of here, we sit right there or walk right into the tornado or the flood. What is happening to us? Have we lost our mother with? We don't know what's going on. That's why you must have readings. You must have divination on a daily basis for ritualistic holidays, also for transitioning, for moving, for entering, and for development and for growth. You need all of these divinations to give you a direct path as to what's happening in your life. You're getting married, it's time to look into the crystal ball to see if this is the proper thing to do. You're getting divorced, it's time to look into the crystal ball to say, do you need a way of escape? Ladies and gentlemen, do not think that it's fetish, or do not think that it's high down the conqueror to consult the oracles for everything you do in your life. Because I'm telling you, just like the Christians are taught, do not lean on your own understanding, but lean on him and he will direct your path. I'm telling you the same thing, that you must go into meditation. You must visualize and see yourself in situations and see it through, because the dream world is the real world. Here, this life you're living is not the real world. This is a fake world walking through this life. It's not happening. It's really not here. But once you go into the subconscious mind, that is the real world. So you must do much meditation and meditate and ponder over everything as you go into the dream world, into the delta realm. You begin to see things as they are. That's where you are to act out whatever it is that you want to accomplish in the spirit realm. So when you come out of the spirit realm, you would have accomplished what you were intended to do, or you would have mastered that thing that you thought you couldn't master. Now, I want to tell you the earthly truth. Some of you are running around grasping things that are silver, shiny, and gold. But you laugh at those who wear the garment of African clothing and the LKBs. But touch not God's anointed, do his prophet no harm. Talking about conscious-minded people being wicked, and stop talking against them because you don't have a better rest. You're talking about no God at all. You're talking about being an atheist. We're talking about embracing a God. You must bow down to something greater than yourself. And you must have a mentor and be a mentee. If you cannot bow down and allow someone to infuse you with their knowledge, you cannot be a good servant. The first prerequisite for a good servant is that they A good leader is that they must first be a servant. And that is why it is great to have a mentor and allow yourself to be a mentee. And while you're being a mentee, your instructor will award to with these Aleke beads. Then wear them proudly, because each one of them were detailed and fashioned after God's essence. And to know you're wearing God with you, that's better than the chains, that's better than the bracelets, that's better than the garment, that's better than the name brand, that's better than all of it. So don't fall up on your brother and sister when you think they've been stuck in the olden days and they're wearing African gods and you're smiling and sneakering and saying, look at my name brand this and my name brand that. Those things will come to perish, and you will put them where moths can get to them, and they will become tarnished. But spiritual things are lasting. They're eternal. But material things are temporal. These are things fashioned by after God's own heart. Just like David was after God's own heart, you can also be a mentee that's after God's own heart. I can't begin to tell you the favor that God will give you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the gifts that God can prepare for you in the form of Aleke beads and protection. Yes, you need protection from the judicial system. Before you go into any courtroom, you need to have a protective shield. You need to be able to be slippery and slip through the annals of the pages of the documentation. You need to be able to go in and have God give you favor. Do you not know that the lawyers, before they do any cases, they go in the courtroom and they case it out, walking 10 and 4 paces and looking and rehearsing over and over again what they're going to say? Because they know what they do in the spirit will come to light in the natural. So go in the spirit wherever you cannot figure something out. I don't care if you have to stay in there for 1, 2, 3 days in the spirit, but work it out. So when you come out in the natural, it will be done for you. I'm talking about a powerful, powerful representation of God here on this earth, because God will intermingle with you, and God will become one with you if you allow him. And you and God will be posse, and you can work together on one accord. Yes, you're a God, little children. And don't you let anyone tell you any different. Only rides on your head. So God rides with you as your posse on a daily basis. Why not get initiated? Why not wear the Aleke beads? Why not be proud of your heritage? It is a great heritage. It is a world heritage. Everybody's heritage comes from African heritage. There was no heritage, or there was no reasoning before the African came. And to make you know that there wasn't a time when the African was never here. He was always here. So he created the universe, and all men and women came from the loins of an African. And if you look in the high places, you will see that Lucy's bones were there. And that from Lucy's bones, she produced the DNA of all human beings. There's only been one race, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the human race. Ask anyone, Caucasian, Jewish, Gentile, they will tell you the same thing. We're all one people, and those are our children. And if they want to call themselves stepchildren, let it be, but they are our children. And when they act out of order, we ought to say something. We ought to chastise our children. When they perpetuate racism and heresy, we ought to call them on it. We can't continue to go on making like this is a problem for Africans. Africans don't have enough to withhold from anyone, so they can't be a racist. A racist means you have power and authority to withhold it from someone else. We're not talking about a race of people that goes down the lineage where they're being a racist. We're talking about those who have things that they can withhold. If the Caucasian want to get blessed, they will start to give back to the African and open up every door. Then that will be a sure ticket that they will be blessed, and they might enter into the kingdom with their hearts weighed light as a feather. Yes, the Kemetic believe that your hearts will be weighed, and you are judged on a daily basis. You do not have to die to get judged and go to heaven. You can go to heaven at any time you want. It is a frame of mind. You can take yourself daily, but you can also enter into hell on a daily basis too. When you don't have no food, that's hell. When you don't have a job, that's hell. When you cannot clothe your children, that's hell. We've been to hell so many times, we do not have to die to transition there. Our methods and trainings are different. Africans must believe that there's no devil running around with a pitchfork waiting to do something to you, because you're always looking for the it trying to get you. Sometimes it's you that you got to get out of the way of. That very flesh is what you got to get out of the way of and realize that we are because we are one. And what happens to you concerns me, and we are communal people. So what's going on in this universe with Hillary or Trump is truly affecting us. So we got to get everyone straight. Our officials that are running for government, we got to get them straight. And we got to sort of notice that we are the higher people and that we are the gods that are coming back now, not to bell hop for a God up in the sky. God will answer to us because God lives through us. He reasons and he sees through our lives. He knows experience through us. Without us, God has no chance of doing anything on this earth, because he said for us to take dominion and subdue the earth. He did not say he would come down here and do anything. So quit waiting for God to come down here and part the sky. God's going to part the sky and come down here. No, he ain't. You're going to jump up and do something that's necessary. We see children running rampant, doing silly things. You are to chastise children that are out of order. You cannot let children continue to lead when there are old folks in the house. You must pay homage to your elders. And if you do, you will be blessed. So Hillary's going to bow down. Trump is going to bow down because they see that the gods are coming forward and they're growing up all over the place. You're finding speakers everywhere, thousands of Martin Luther King speaking things that Martin Luther King should have spoken. Martin Luther King didn't do us any favor by coming here saying, we're going to force you into those white schools. We're going to force integration. Now you're going to hold hands. That's what got him killed, because that's not what the Caucasians were looking for. They weren't looking to integrate. They had theirs, and they wanted us to have ours. Maybe we should have kept it that way. We should have kept ours and preserved it. Now we've lost everything we ever had control of. They're absolutely right. Caucasian, I want to commemorate you. When you said that we should have stayed on our side of the street and went to our schools and preserved our schools, you were absolutely right. I want to amen you on that. Martin Luther King spent a short time here making us think that this world could be blended and making us think that integration was the answer and forcing us into situations where we shouldn't have been. Maybe some of those students, statistics shows that they did have exposure and learned a little bit more from going to all-white schools, but the statistics also show that the white Caucasians were not changed by the integration of black people coming into their schools. Now, we've got to get a grip of ourselves. Schools is going to be so germane that our black children are not going to want to go in there because they don't see themselves in the annals of the history pages. They're standing on the outside looking in to somebody else's history. If we don't hurry up and make some changes, our children are going to have gnashing of teeth because their fathers and mothers have eaten bitter grapes and refused to do anything about the situation. Now the black children's teeth are set on edge. And that is going to be the damnation of our community until we step up and do something about this educational system, because it is not working for our children. Now back again to initiation. Mothers, you can prepare your young boys to get initiated. You can prepare them to receive the right hand of a woman. You can prepare them to be dedicated. You can prepare them to study. After the creation of the African story, you can prepare them to be an initiate. That's all it takes, is dedicating them and getting a mentor to work with them. Because we're going to have to make some changes. Because if the police consistently stop black men, we want to make sure that they all have the same training and they all are doing the same thing so they don't alarm the policeman to cause him to have to think that all black people are bad. So maybe we need to get these churches turned around and say, look, churches, we got to do better than this. We got to train our black men to do the same thing. Just like Dr. Martin Luther King spent time in the churches training those people when they went out. They didn't just go out there. Not everybody thinks that everybody loves them. They just walk out there, no training. You need a protection. That's what EFA can offer you. Get your children involved and get a protection for them. I don't care if you put a juju bag around their neck and put a rabbit's tail in it or whatever. Pray over it and put it around their neck and ask for protection to make your child invisible as he goes to and forth. And remember the song that I think Mayfield sang, "Oh, to be invisible, here's my claim to fame. If I could just be invisible, I could go through life without any changes. I just want to be invisible. Oh, to be invisible is my claim to fame." That's right. Make your child invisible and cover him going to and fro in the vineyards, in the city. Cover him. Cover him so that he is invisible. And that's one of the things that African Americans all wanted to be during the 60s. They wanted to not be seen, and that's what the black brothers were saying. So here we walk around with our breasts showing and our goal showing. Jesus had no goal so he could show his flesh. However, we walk in and out of places without any protection and not knowing that our lives are in danger. We cannot continue to go on giving up our sons like this. We cannot continue not to tell them the story of who they are. If you won't take the time to sit down and tell your black son that he's a priest, that he's a king, every black child's name needs to be changed back to the names of a king. Do a naming ceremony and change your children's name back. It might even save their life and change their way of life. But it's very necessary for you to understand that these Aleke Bees are powerful. These Aleke Bees have the ability to cut going in and cut going out. They're a source of representation of who God is. And they're not to be touched by everyone. And revealing that you are a priestess must be a secret society. Cover up your chest. When you go to public events, that's fine. But don't let everyone grab and touch and embrace those Aleke Bees because they've been consecrated by God. They've set you aside. You are holy priests set aside for God's work. And as you are set aside, you understand you walk a little bit lighter now. And you can walk a little bit freer now. Because protection is all around you. And let Mother Yamenye go ahead of you and prepare the water so that the waters are not troubled. Don't trouble the waters. Go ahead of you so that the crooked places are made plain. So that when you walk through the valley, you will fear no evil, for thou art with you. And you will get to the place where you're going. And you get home and return. Mothers, pray over your sons and your daughters as they leave the house. Pray over them. Put the fear of God in their heart and pray over them and let them know that Oladulamare has a frequency that will go with them. And then let them know that they are to stop and thank the Creator for everything and for all of the sacrifices that have been made, making the way plain and clear for you so that they will come here knowing their purpose and they'll be on purpose. Some children are wayward because we don't put our children on a task. Mothers, you are going to have to make some changes in your lives and put special protection around your boys, and you're going to have to speak a blessing over them. You go in the churches and you cry out for yourself, but you won't cry out for your children. Cry out for your children. God will bless you if you begin to start to put your children first and do the right things by your children. Bring up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not part from it. I tell you these things because I want our communal life to be one. As your community better itself, then I can better myself. We must begin to learn about a number of denominations of religions that all fix themselves around the African consciousness. As you grow into Buddhism and understand that Buddha was a mere example of what you can be, You don't have to be a Buddhist to believe in the faith and the fivefold path. As you look at Ifa, you don't have to fully be a priestess to understand Iwapelu, good character and good conduct. Some of our conduct is out of the way. It is habitual. Some of our conduct is just downright wretched. And we've